Let's pray so we can start this time together. Amen. Dear God, thank you so much because you are a God that brings us together. Thank you so much for all the families that are here, God. And thank you so much because you build us as a family so we can do greater things for you, God. So I just pray that you bless this moment together here and that may your presence be felt in a very special way. Speak through us and encourage our hearts as we talk about the ministry that's being done in Brazil. And may your Holy Spirit just encourage us to do more and to go forth and fulfill your word for us. Thank you so much, God, for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. So, my name is Ellie. I am 33 years old. In Brazil, you don't tell your age, but I'm not a normal Brazilian, and you will find out why. So I'm married to Sydney, this handsome pie seller person.
Thank you.
For those of you that were at the pie social will understand. At the age, I'm Brazilian. I was born in Brazil, but my parents, there's so many people leaving. My parents were missionaries to Mozambique. Africa. So at the age of five, how many five-year-olds do I have here? Who's five? Raise your hand. One, five, two, five, three, five. Okay, so at their, you're not five, Adam. At the age of five, I moved with my parents to Mozambique, Africa. My parents had gone to Mozambique to cover for a missionary family that the husband had become really sick. And his disease was, I don't know how to say it, but it was, degenerated. And so he started losing the movements of his body until finally he was only responding with blinks. So he was answering yes with a blink and no with two blinks. And we went to Mozambique to cover for them for a year so he could go back to Canada and get medical treatment. And in saying this, I just want to point out that God has mysterious ways of working. And sometimes we don't understand what we're going through and why we're going through them, but there's always a greater purpose for God fulfilling his calling upon our lives. So when my parents went, obviously I didn't really understand what was going on. It was just like, yeah, let's get on an airplane and go to I don't even know where. And so we went and we stayed there for a year covering for the missionaries and came back to Brazil when that time was done. And the missionaries that we had covered for went back to Mozambique, but unfortunately, the disease didn't stop. And so the missionaries that had returned basically went back to Mozambique to say their goodbyes so they could go back to Canada and the missionary could get all the support that he needed until the end of his life. So within a couple months, the mission called my parents back to Mozambique, and we went. But when we went, it was in 1992, Mozambique was at civil war. And so they were at the end of the war. They actually signed their peace treaty in Rome in 1992. I think it was October or something. I can't remember exactly. But we were there. And when we came to Mozambique, I was talking to Vicky, I think, saying how I don't really like peanut butter because when we were there, we didn't have access to supermarkets. We didn't have access to grocery stores. The only food that we had access to was the food that was brought in by the UN, that came in containers, that came from the US, and they were all canned foods. So peanut butter was life. And so I ate peanut butter with banana, peanut butter with apple, peanut butter with bread, peanut butter with everything. And so today I'm like, I'll eat it, but if I have a choice, I won't. But we're very thankful for the UN and all the food that they brought in. But at the time, we didn't have meat. We didn't have, you know, a bunch of things. And as soon as the peace treaty was signed, we were technically able to go over the border and buy our groceries and start life normally, per se. And as kids, me and my brother, we would, our games traveling as a family was counting how many cars were burned up on the side of the road and, you know, how many buildings we saw that used to be buildings and were now exploded. And so it was a very weird, per se, childhood. But God, like I said, is a God of miracles, and he works in mysterious ways for us to fulfill his calling. I grew up in Mozambique, and when I turned 12, I started being more involved with the church, was when I believe I made my decision to actually walk with Christ. And at the age of 15, I got baptized and went to boarding school in Kenya because my parents needed to come to furlough to raise support, and that kept interfering in our schooling. My brother and I went to an American school that was started in Mozambique because of the war, so all the missionary kids got to go to this school that was a Christian school. And then when I was 15, I went to boarding school, stayed there for 2 years, and went back to Brazil to go to seminary. And after seminary, I met him. but I wanted to point out a couple of things to you guys regarding my story. Being the daughter of a pastor and being the daughter of Christian parents didn't make me a Christian. Right? I mean, that's maybe an overstatement. No, that's how it is. Being the daughter or sons of Christians doesn't make you a Christian. You have to decide for yourself. So during my walk as a daughter, even being in Mozambique, we were offered many things. And I praise God for the church being ready to receive teenagers. Because I needed all the support at that time, and I was thankful because the church that I used to go to in Mozambique was able to embrace my difficulties and help me through it, not shun me away and be like, you heathen, they were able to bring us together. And so I'm very thankful for the church that is equipped to receive people who are hurting, even though my parents were pastors and were, you know, Christians and were leaders. But I had my hurt that I needed to deal with, and I had my experiences that I had gone through. And like my husband says, he says things all over because we have so many kids. But bad things happen in good families. And something bad happened in our family with me. And I didn't know how to explain it to my parents. And I thank God for the people that were around them that were able to reach out and be like, there's something going on, you need to. And then my dad came to talk to me, and I was able to speak to him about it. So when we have situations that are happening around us that sometimes we hear about them, but we don't think they're ever going to happen around in our environment, or they're never going to happen to our kids, or never going to happen to us, we need to be prepared. We need to talk about these things. We need to be like, yeah, maybe this happens in a poor neighborhood or a poor country, but what if it happened amongst us? What would we do? What would be the church's response to a suffering teenager? What would be the church's response to a suffering family? Like, how would we act towards these things? And that's part of the things that we as a mission, our mission, that's something that we are very concerned about. Is the church ready to reach out to these kinds of social situations? Also, it was because of my parents' ministry calling that I decided to follow my calling, which is missions. So to all the parents here, I just want to say, I know that we as children, sons and daughters, we are not always perfect most of the time, but please don't give up on us. Please don't give up if we make a mistake or if you see that there's something, like drifting off in the wrong direction, embrace us because we need that. We need to know that even if we make mistakes, you're going to be there for us. And I want to tell you guys something about myself regarding that. There was a point in time, I got baptized when I was 15, but at 17, I wasn't doing so well. And that's when I was sent to boarding school, and I wasn't doing too good. And I did some things that I'm not proud of, and I wouldn't encourage anybody to do it, because that's just reinventing. I can't say that. There's too many kids. So you don't need to go through that in order to find Christ, right? And so after seminary, I was able to come to my parents, and I went to talk to my dad, and I said, "Dad, sit down. I need to tell you some things because I need to ask for forgiveness for some things that I did, and now I actually feel like God has forgiven me, so please sit." And I told my parents what I had done from the age of 16, 17, 18. And when I told my dad all these things and I said, "Can you please forgive me?" My father said to me, "Who am I not to forgive you?" That to me was the biggest expression of God's love in my life as God the Father. And so with that being said, I think to myself, what if Dad hadn't replied that way? What if Dad had said, "Yeah, that was bad. I mean, I forgive you, but, you know." And the way that my father presented forgiveness to me as a daughter made all the difference in my walk with Christ and my response to his calling upon my life. So I'm very passionate about those people that a lot of people don't want around them. I know that a response can be the last chance. The way you respond to their rebellion, the way you respond to their hurt could be their last chance to return. So we as a mission have a desire to go to places where people are hurting. We can't wait for them to come because so many times they think they're not worthy of being around Christians. They don't feel worthy being around the good people because we already... I don't know why people think that, but the good and the healed and the doing right. So we have a huge passion to go to people who are not doing well, people who are not making good choices, people who are suffering because of their choices and because of consequences of our world, because of sin. And I'd like to just close in saying that God has... a very special way of calling us to him. And I know that we have little ones, teenagers, and I know we have some young adults here and some awesome elders that are hosting us. We love you. Please be attentive to what God is speaking to you. It may be different from what God is speaking to someone else. It may be a different calling. Some people are called, I mean, Pastor Scott was talking about it on Sunday morning. It's just people are different. We had so many different characters in the Bible, so many different people that were used by God in so many different ways. And maybe you feel like God is calling you to do something, and it may not be the norm. It may not be preaching. It may not be, you know, I don't know. But please say yes to God's calling in your life. Whichever it is, if it's to be a servant and you're going to be faithful in cleaning the carpets for Sunday school every week, or to go to the hospitals where people are hurting, or to go to your neighbor that you know that hasn't had a paycheck and eats food, whatever. Whatever the calling that God has for your life, please say yes. Please say yes, because it could be me. It could be my last chance. It could be that person's last chance with your action and your response to God's calling upon your life. I'd like to call my handsome husband, and he's going to continue speaking a little bit more about our missionary calling and what we do in Brazil. Okay.
God is good, amen? God is always good. We're glad to be here. We thank Pastor Scott, his family, Pastor Nathan, his family, all the elders, all the leaders of this church. Thank you for coming, all of you guys. Tonight, we're just excited to share with you a little bit more about the ministry. You've heard my testimony. You've heard my wife's testimony. You've met our kids, Maliki and Eloa. They are being taken care of really well by one of the members here of this church. And we really appreciate everything that God is doing in this place. If you look into Mark chapter 2, if you look into verse 1 all the way up to verse 12, Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 2, verse 1 to all the way to verse 12, you're going to see a story about a paralytic. Is that how you pronounce it? It's so hard to pronounce some of the words in English. You hear a story of a man that was healed, a paralytic. It's very interesting that four friends, you know, they came. They were not just watching that paralytic, like watch from far away and say, look at him. He's thinking. You know, he's there for a long time. They did not do that. They did not just kept talking about the situation of that paralytic man. What we felt as a ministry, there is a lot of churches around the world that are saying things, that are doing missions conference, workshop on missions, but a lot of times they are not doing missions. They are not carrying the gospel in a very practical way. So that's the first observation that I wanted to lay with you guys tonight, that our ministry, Rescue to Tell International Ministry, we want to be part of a church just like you guys. We want to understand the gospel and take the gospel. There is a lot of people, I'm going to talk about Brazil. There is a lot of people in Brazil concerned about the clothes of the sister. Oh, her clothes are not very nice. Her hair is not very nice. Oh, the air conditioner is not very nice. Oh, the tie of the pastor is not looking good today. The sermon of the pastor is not good. You know, they complain about everything. They come, they sit inside of a church. They receive, 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 and they are not doing anything. As a ministry, we want to be part of God's work. God wants to use all of us. God wants to use you, and He wants to use us. The problem is, there is a lot of people just that are Christians, that were saved. God transformed their lives. God changed their mentality, but they're still just receiving. And the gospel is not for us just to receive, but it's for us to take to our school, to where we work. Wherever we go, we are the hands, we are the mouth, we are the feet of Jesus, wherever we go. But in Brazil, I'm going to talk about Brazil. I can't talk about the U.S. But there is a lot of people just blah, 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 blah. I don't know if that's an English expression, but in Brazil, it's like talk a lot. They look at Brazil and say, wow, the government is horrible. Oh, the politicians are horrible. Oh, the church in the corner is horrible. They talk about a lot of things. They only talk blah, 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 blah. And the paralytic is a representation of our world today. It's a representation of the people that are suffering in Woodland, in the United States, in Brazil. Churches, we are to receive what God has for us, but we need to be in movement because God is always in movement. God, if you look and study the history of the church, God is always moving. If God is moving in history, we as a church, as a body of Christ, we need to be in movement with the gospel of Jesus Christ, with love, grace, in Jesus' name. So that's what we want to do as a ministry in Brazil. We do not want to sit inside of air conditioner, living room, or an office, and be talking about the problems of Brazil. We want to be part of the solution. There is a lot of Christians that are part of the problems. I'm not going to talk about the U.S., but in Brazil, there is a lot of Christians that are like, instead of them helping the church, they are giving more problems, bringing shame to the gospel of Jesus. You know, they're bringing problems to the name of a church. A lot of times when people think about the churches in Brazil, they're thinking, oh, we have some churches in Brazil that they're preaching like, hey, right now receive a new key of your car, receive a big house, receive a new promotion of ministry. And people go crazy. People jump. People fight. You know, they want to grab those promises. But when you talk about evangelists, when you talk about reaching the poor, when you talk about going to the hospital, everybody's like this. Most people are like this. Me? Not me. But if you go to a lot of churches in Brazil, if you say, hey, you're going to receive a new car, you're going to receive a new promotion, you're going to get a new beautiful girlfriend, everyone's like crazy. Yes, I want that promise. That promise I want. But when the pastor say, hey, let's do evangelism, let's do a prayer meeting, hey, but you ask the people to come for a barbecue in Brazil, you see like thousands, hundreds of people come to eat barbecue. But talk about, hey, let's do a prayer meeting, let's do evangelism, let's do this, let's work for the God, you know, for the work of God. People don't want that. People want to live in their comfort zone. I don't know about the U.S., but we as Christians, we are not called just to be talking about the social problems of our country. So imagine that paralytic, he needed Jesus. So those four friends, they were not just talking. Those four friends, they went, they took action. And they grabbed that paralytic. Is that how you pronounce it? Paralytic, pastor, help me out. That paralytic. And they carry him. They did not just kept talking about, oh, what a poor man. He's been there for a long time. Jesus is there. I'm going to take that paralytic to Jesus. So they went to work. They put their limbs up. Sleeves up. And they went to work. They carried that paralytic. They took that paralytic to Jesus. That's the representation of the church here in this earth. They worked. So that's the first thing that we want to do in Brazil. We want to work hard to see the gospel flourish, grow in Brazil. We do not just want to be part of the problem. We want to be part of the solution. Who wants to be part of the solution? Amen?
Amen.
And look at the interesting. If you keep reading this text, they were not just talking. They carried the paralytic. Do you know what they did? How many people carried the paralytic? Four people. We as a ministry, the first focus of our ministry, we want to work with the churches in Brazil. A lot of ministries in Brazil, they're like this. I don't need nobody. I can walk by myself. I don't need to do anything with nobody. We want to work with the Brazilian church. Four of them carry the paralytic. There is a lot of people trying to carry the gospel by themselves. We don't want to do that. Even though it's tough to work with the churches in Brazil. Oh, it is really tough. Because a lot of times they're focused in natural things. They're focusing earthly things. But we as a ministry, we believe in unity. Hey, how many people carry the paralytic? Four people. So imagine, help me out. Come here, brother.
Adam.
Look how big he is. Strong, handsome guy, tall. Just imagine he's the paralytic. If I by myself, Sidney, if I try to carry him, it's going to be really hard because he's heavy. He's tall. He's strong. If he's paralytic and I'm trying to carry him by myself, it's not going to work. But if I invite my brothers, like these three right here, and four of us, we carry him. One grab right here. One grab right here.
Come on.
We're going to be able to carry him.
Let's do this. Yeah. Uh-huh.
We're not.
Lay down, Adam.
Usually we do like the. We're going to just use this as an illustration. Yeah, that's good.
Hey,
ready?
Don't hurt yourselves.
Okay. See, check this out. This is easy.
Woo!
Amen? You can applaud it stronger.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, right here. Check this out. This is, stay right here with me. This is the representation of the church. We can't do things by ourselves. We can't. If we try, it's not going to work. Hey, listen to what I'm going to say right now. There is a lot of ministries in Brazil. I'm going to talk about Brazil because I can't talk. I'm not from here. There is a lot of churches in Brazil trying to do things. Oh, I can't do by myself. I'm good. And they are hurting the gospel in Brazil because they are too prideful to walk with other people. Hey, I'm different than him. I'm way different than him. Way different than him. Hey, but we can work together. I'm different than Pastor Scott, but we are brothers in Christ. He can go to Brazil and bless our church. I can come here. We're different, but we can do things together.
Yeah.
Amen? Especially when it's the pure gospel. Amen? So look, we are different. Four of us, we are different. But if we walk together, we can carry the paralytic. We can change a city. We can change a nation. That's why our first focus is to work with the Brazilian church. We don't want to work by ourselves. We want to work with the Brazilian church. They're going to give us a lot of hard work. It's good. Let's do it. Amen? So that's the first focus. When you think about Rescue to Tell International Ministry, we are working with the Brazilian church and through the Brazilian church. So all the workshops and the conference about missions, there we are. Any initiative that will change a neighborhood, a city, there we want to be part of with the Church of Brazil. We don't want to just be another ministry that is doing something cute over there, but not working with the Brazilian church. Amen? Amen? So that's the first thing. Thank you, guys. You guys are awesome.
Give them a hand.
The second focus that we have is to engage the social problems. We want to be where the social problems are. Like, there are a lot of people in Brazil that they come and they talk about the social problems of Brazil. Man, we have a lot of street kids in Brazil. But for you to reach the street kid, you got to go find CGNA. I was on the streets, stinking. I was like, if you looked at me when I was on the streets, I looked crazy. I look crazy now too, huh? I'm just joking. But I looked crazy when I was in the streets. My hair was not like this. We have some pictures that pass in. One of the pictures that you'll see me when I was young, blonde hair, you know, doing crazy things. But the church was there through the missionaries. They went to the streets. We want to be where the problems are. So we want to, nobody wants to go to the slums in Brazil. We want to be there.
Okay, pause. So
you
this
oh, that's
right
me
here.
Inside the show. No, I have the other one that is blunt. This is like in the TV.
That's TV room.
All of these boys are not doing well besides this one and that one. All the other ones are not doing well. Most of my friends, they are in prison or they are dead. So, and I'm only what I am today because the missionaries went to the streets really late at night, left their comfort zone, and went to the streets to embrace us, to love us. Here in Woodland, what are the places that nobody wants to step, wants to walk? What type of people that nobody wants to work with? If God sends them to us, it's God has sent, because He trusts us. God has great things for you. God has great things for us. But we want to follow what God has for us. Most of the time when you go to a church in Brazil and say, hey, let's go to a prison, everyone's like, prison? Prison? Yes, we want to go as a ministry. We feel called. Some people are not called for that, by the way. That's why you need to understand where God wants you. Like in Brazil, a lot of people fight. They kill for the microphone. They want to sing and preach, but a lot of people are not called to do what Pastor Nathan and Pastor Scott is. Maybe God wants to use you as a photographer. Come on, somebody. Maybe He wants to use you like as a nurse traveling to Honduras, using your knowledge that God has given you. Right, sister? Each one of you, God has something for you. But the problem in Brazil is that a lot of people are like, no, I want the microphone. You know, they fight. They want to be in front of people. They want to look good. But nobody wants to clean the floor. Nobody wants to clean the table. Nobody wants to work in the sound system because, oh, nobody's seeing me. So it's a big fight. In some churches you go, you see like, woo! You're like, man, the environment is not good. Because people are fighting for the wrong things. There's a story in Brazil of a member from a church that he went to a pastor and said like this, Pastor, I want to leave the church. There are so many problems here. I don't want to do nothing here anymore. I want to leave the church. And then the pastor gave him a very specific task. He said, you want to leave the church, but before you leave, I'm going to ask you to do one thing. You're going to carry 3 cups of water, full of water, 3 cups like this one. Can I have? It's good. 3 cups of water like this. And if you walk all around the church without spilling the water, then you can leave the church. The member, he went like this. Wow, this is easy. The pastor asked me to just walk around the church, carrying three cups. And after he was done, and after he came back and gave to the pastor, said, like, "Did you see how good I am? I didn't spill no water." And the pastor said, "Wow, you did a really good job. But let me ask you a question. When you were carrying the three cups of water, did you see all the problems that you told me?" And the member of the church said, "No." And he said, "Do you think why you couldn't see any problems?" And he's like, "Oh, because I was carrying the three cups of water." And the pastor, a very wise pastor, said, "Exactly. Do you know why you're seeing all the problems?" And he's like, "No, tell me." He's like, "Because you are not working." I have an expression in Brazil that I've been saying to the church. If you're not working, you are giving a lot of work. I don't know if that translates to English, but in Portuguese, it makes a lot of sense. If you're not working, if you're not serving the church that God has put you, if God has brought you to this church, it is to work, to serve in this place, to grow in this place. Because if you're working, you're not going to give a lot of work. In Brazil, it makes a lot of sense. One day, I went to a church, and I was in a missions conference in Brazil. And there was a lot of bushes, like grass everywhere, and I had to walk in front of the church like this because there was so many grass, And then when I did an altar call, who wants to go to China? Who wants to go to Africa? People were crying. People were like crazy. People were grabbing like the flags. They were like saying, I'm going. And then I stopped and I said like this, "Hey, if you don't work in your local church, you're not going anywhere." And everybody like, and I say, if you have not learned to serve your local church, you will give a lot of problems anywhere you go. And everyone was like this. I say, your work starts where you are. That is, a lot of people say, "One day I'm going. But if you don't serve where God has put you in Woodland Christian Church, don't be telling people, "I'm going to China. I'm going to Brazil." I don't want people like that in Brazil. Don't come to Brazil. I want people that serve, that when the pastor sent to Brazil, they're like, it's sending good people, people that work. It's not like lazy people that, "Let's go even, I want to sleep, I want to go to the nice beach of Brazil." Do you know what I'm saying? So this is your mission field. Woodland, high school, middle school, wherever God puts you, your work, this is where you start. The wall will say amen. And that doesn't work. Translate to English, eh? In Brazil, we have an expression when the church is very silent. I say like this, the wall will say amen. You know? But this is, I really want to make that very clear. We want to be where the problems are. That's our second focus. The first one is what? To work with the church. It's the second one, go where the problems are. But for us to do that, we need to do what God has called us to do right here. And third and last thing is, twice a year, we want to train people. We want to equip people to do what God has called them to do. We have a twice a year school. One starts in March, one starts in August. The next one will be August 3rd. And we will have students from Brazil and all over the world that will come to Brazil to be trained and equipped for 4 months. During 3 months, they will have classes. I was telling Pastor Nathan, our dream is to have a space like this, because our class, it's like here, it's like this. So I was looking at this, I told Pastor Nathan, God, we asked God that one day we'll have a structure like this. Look how, and a lot of people maybe think, this is too small. Someone passed by a high school and said, this is a small high school. And I looked at the person and said like this, hey, the Woodland High School, it's like a university in Brazil. The elementary schools that you guys have here, some schools have a swimming pool, have a soccer court, have basketball, have so many things. I'm like, that's like a high school in Brazil. We don't have no swimming pools. You will never find most schools there, besides the American school that is there. We have, someplace American school. Then they have a swimming pool. But all the other schools, we have no swimming pool. We don't have no soccer court. The kids, they play soccer most of the time on the concrete. So someone told me Woodland High School is so small. I was like, small? That's like a college, a university in Brazil. Woodland High School. A lot of people think it's small compared to the U.S. But in Brazil, it's like a college. So our dream is to have a classroom like this in Brazil. Look at that kitchen. Woo! Look how big it is. But if you go to Brazil, our classroom is like here. And all these students are being trained very close to each other. You know, very warm.
To support each other.
Supporting each other. Let's go. You know, 20 to 25 students will be there in August 3rd doing classes on missions. The classes will be, it's hard to translate to world religions. You will learn about all the religions of the world, like all the ones that we can know about, right? You know, like how to approach them, what are their beliefs and things like that. Identity in Christ. You will have a class, ethics, Christian ethics. It's hard to translate right now to English, but it's like for you to do missions, for you to work for God, you need to have character. So ethics, you need to have ethics. We'll have, for everyone that doesn't speak Portuguese, they will have an awesome teacher that will be teaching English to all the foreigners. And we'll have English to all the Brazilians. Everyone that doesn't speak English, they will have English. Because English is an international language. Everywhere you go in the world, you can speak English. Yes? So that's one of the classes we'll have. We'll have a lot of different other classes. But if you study in the morning, in the afternoon you'll be serving somewhere. A hospital, shelter for kids, a prison for minors. I've been to some correctional facilities here in the U.S. They took me and they're like, man, it's really bad. I'm warning you, it's really bad. When I got in the correctional facility, I was like, wow, very clean, very organized. This is really good. Compare, if you go to Brazil, when we take you to a prison, you'll see a cell that is like really small, like right here, to that piano right here. And you'll see like 12 guys like this, and most of them, they can't lay down because they can't really do something. They got to sleep like this on top of each other, and it's all destroyed in a really bad place, you know. And they allow us to do service there. Sing, preach the gospel, they allow us to do that. It's school assemblies. So that's the third thing. They'll be in Brazil for 3 months, and the practical time for a month, it will be in Mozambique, where my wife grew. I've been to Africa 6 different times. We'll be in Mozambique, serving the church, doing a lot of cool things. And by the way, it's open. There are some Brazilians that are now will not be doing the school like pastors, that they will be going to Mozambique with us. There is a couple from Michigan. One young guy and his wife is going to meet us in Mozambique for 10 days. So it's open for anybody that wants to experience Africa with us. So the students will be there for a month, but anybody can join us in Mozambique in Africa. So our three focus is serve the Brazilian church, engage the social problems where they are through the gospel, and third, train a generation of missionaries, people that want to do missions. Now, Pastor Nathan gave a suggestion that we will apply right now. We've done what he was asked, my wife to share her testimony, for me to share the three main focus of our ministry, and now we're going to open to questions. You can ask nice questions, tough questions. You can ask anything. I like it. I like you a lot. So ask it. Ask any question.
Okay, just really quickly, as you're thinking of questions to ask, so this is my husband's book. It's called Rescue to Tell.
It's in English?
It's in English. And the reason we decided to call our mission Rescue to Tell International Ministry is because he was rescued, and today he goes around. He's been to 29 countries, and he's been preaching the gospel and telling people that there is hope. So because of that, we want them to have an example of a life change, someone that could have taken a completely different route in life, was rescued and had their life changed. And that's why we call our organization Rescue to Tell International Ministries. You guys can read the book. John has it.
We will rescue to tell people about Jesus, about hope. So everywhere we go in Brazil, and if you notice, if you have not paid attention to the pictures, we are called to speak in schools, in politician government events. So when we go to those places, we are telling them about God. Literally, I tell my story. I tell that God is the one that saved me. So in Brazil, it's still in a lot of places. You can tell about God. You can tell about hope in Jesus. So it's really cool to be able to do that. So please take some look, if you have not yet, some of the pictures of what we're doing in Brazil.
So we would like to show you guys a video, a quick video, of one of our outreaches to the men's prison, where we were able to use his book as a tool. So we printed the Portuguese version of it, and we were able to donate 200 books at the prison. So they had that as an option of part of their rehabilitation. And so we were able to go there and do a service with all of them. And because we were able to go there and use that as a tool, the guys that were giving trouble, and you guys will see it in the, they're going to be standing in the back. So the guys that you see in the back with their hands like this, they're the guys that were in trouble. And so they used the service and the time that we had together with the other inmates as an encouragement for them to have their lives changed. So they were able to attend the service together with the other inmates, and we were like surrounded by guards. It was kind of scary, I have to tell you the truth. But we were surrounded by guards, and God's presence was there. It was amazing.
And the interesting thing is, the director of the prison, he said, Sidney, do you want the nicest ones or do you want the worst ones? I say, bring the worst ones, like you guys call the worst ones. So they brought about 200 men, and it was considered like the worst ones that have done so many things that you cannot even imagine. I got in touch with someone from Michigan and said, hey, most of the places that I go, we don't sell books in Brazil. First, because Brazilians don't buy books, because most of the time they don't have the conditions to buy books. So we give them out. We've given over 15,000 books in Brazil, Rescue to Tell, in Portuguese. So it's considered like a bestseller, but I've never made any money because we give them out. Because that's why some people are like, oh, I tried to reach you in Facebook, but I couldn't become your friend. It's because a lot of people have read the book and they follow us. But I reach out to one person in Michigan and say, hey, I'm going to go to a prison. Can you send a love offering for me to give out 200 books? And can you give money for us to buy food? Because the food is really bad. So can we do something nice? So I said, I want the best soda. I know soda is not good for you. But I got the best like brand, like Coca-Cola. And then we wanted to give the best to them. And I told my story. Preach the gospel, and a lot of them got saved. One that you'll see in the video that doesn't have an arm for a lot of different reasons, a lot of bad things. He was the leader of a big gang in our state. The governor was afraid of him because he was in prison for 32 years. 32 years in prison. You're going to see him during the video. He doesn't have one of the arms. And when he walked in the room, all the guys, because he's the big boss, like the big really, you know, and he tried to kill the governor so many times, the governor of our state, and he asked to burn so many buses of our city, and he was there, and he fell to his face his down, knees. And that day he accepted Jesus Christ. So it's awesome. So you can check in. Can you turn it up? Can you turn the lights?
Can you guys hear?
My is here. Is that okay to turn off the lights?
Can you hear?
Why aren't his arms reaching? That's him right there. That's the main person that was involved. He had 300 people under him that he could say anything, things would happen.
So the ones that are standing in the back are the ones that came in as special guests.
And there is a lot of police officers on the top with big guns. These are all people from churches that we invite them to go with us. Like the first focus to work with the church. So we invite the pastors, his church, like, hey, whoever wants to go can go with us. We don't want to be doing things just our ministry. We want to engage the church. We believe to do things through the church. Like that guy is a worship leader that was there with the guitar from a Baptist church in Brazil. There is other people here from other churches, you know. Amen. Now it's time for questions, right? We have a few minutes to ask questions. If you have any questions, Pastor Nate is going to pass the mic, and we'll be hopefully ready to answer your questions.
Anyone want to go? Any takers? Any takers? Right over here.
So you talked about your ministry, but how did you come to a place in which you God was calling you to start this ministry or to do this ministry as opposed to just joining a pre-existing ministry already out there?
How did we come up to this point? We served in a Christian organization for about 10 years. Their main focus is only to work with the street kids like me. When I was on the street, so they have a shelter where we have boys and girls. So me and my wife, we worked with as coordinators of the boys, 123 boys that were rescued from the streets. Then we worked with about 82 girls in the other place they have, the girls that came from that family in situation of risk. Then for 10 years, we were there. The last 2 years, we started telling our main leader, we feel God has called us to work with the Brazilian church. Because there, the specific ministry is only to work inside of that ministry with the kids. So we're like, hey, we've been here for 10 years now, and we've been feeling God is calling us to work with the Brazilian church. Because when we received the church, we noticed a lot of them want to do something, but they didn't know how. So we felt like we are young still. She's 30, going to be 34.
I'm 33. He tends to like say to that make, I'm going to be.
Because she's older than me, you know. She likes young guys. So just Yogi. She's I'm 33. She's a couple of months later older than I am. But I want to make sure that she's older, Sam, always. So, but we got to do it right now. If we're going to pioneer a ministry, we got to have energy. Because whoever pioneers something or you start something from like scratch, it's not easy. You got to have a lot of energy. You got to have a lot of things in you. We did not want to wait until like 45, 50. So we wanted to like, let's do it now. So we want to work with the three main folks. That's what we felt God calling us to do. Work with the church and not just wait for the problems, but go where the problems are. And we want to train people.
During these 10 years that we worked with this ministry, we received a lot of churches that would come. And we received a lot of phone calls from churches saying, oh, we have this kid in our neighborhood that's, you know, his we're trying to reach his family, but he, you know, he's giving you a lot of trouble. Can we send him to you? And in some cases, it ended up that the kid would go to us, but after, like, the social workers did all the study and, you know, the psychologist went, it was something that the church could have intervened and the kid didn't need to end up in a shelter. It was something that the church could have done and ended up doing in the end, but they didn't need to go through that whole process. And we felt like every time they would call us, what can we do? What can we do? And so there was a team that was left doing the work that we were doing. And we feel like God is calling us to equip the church to go to these situations before they end up in correctional facilities or before they end up in a shelter.
Do we answer,
Did I answer your question?
Okay, good. Questions?
One at a time, please.
Yeah.
Don't need to fight to ask.
Not everybody together.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
So from logistically speaking, from leadership, is it the churches that reach out to you and tell you what the issues are that they need support with? Or is it, are you guys looking for different areas? How do you come alongside? What's your first step?
Both. There are some churches that already know us. They reach out to us. But we love to go to those favelas, like to the slums in the hills of Brazil. And there are some small churches there that the pastors want to do something, but they don't have resources. They don't know how to do it. And sometimes, the problems are too much for them. So when we come, it's like a big refresh when we come with the team. And we're like, hey, we want to do a kids ministry here, like an outreach with the kids. Do you want to participate? They're like, yes, I was praying for someone like you guys. You know. So a lot of times they are inside of slum, but they don't have resources. Simple things like 200 kids in one area, 150 kids. The church wants to do an outreach, but all the kids are hungry. So they want to serve cookies and juice and, you know, do games and preach the gospel. Sometimes they don't have that resource. And we can come say, you know what, we'll come with the resources. And we'll also come with a team to do all the games, all the activities, the Bible story and everything. He's like, are you going to do that with us, for us? It's like, yeah, let's work together. So it's incredible to see what God can do in places like that. Molly? Mm-hmm. She's going to do it in Portuguese because she knows, she speaks Portuguese really well.
Yes.
I don't know if you know that, but she does.
Yeah, she does. I don't know. Como que fala leadership?
Liderança.
Liderança, equipe?
Equipe.
Solamente vocês ou...
No.
Você tem mais.
See, her question was, do you have other people with you guys? Yes, we have a board of directors in Brazil. For us to function in Brazil as a ministry, legally, we have to have a board of directors. So we have 12 people in our board of directors. You know, we have the administrative board of directors, and we have the, it's called fiscal. It's the ones that will check if we spend the money correctly, everything. So in Brazil, our ministry, we have a board of directors, and we also have another couple of pastors, another family. It's Pastor James, his name is Thiago, and Sarah, and their little daughter. Their little daughter is 2 months older than my daughter. So they serve alongside with us. They stay with us in the same building where we are. So if you go to Brazil, you'll meet them. And when we go back, we're going to have a barbecue with the board of directors to talk about our experience here in Brazil or in the U.S. So we'll go back. We set up already on the 21st, 10 o'clock in the morning, barbecue with the board of directors to tell, hey, we spent 3 months in the U.S. This is what happened. This is what God did in Woodland, in all the places we went. So they want to know. They've been following us. They want to know how we went. They want to hear because, you know, they're walking with us. Muito boa pergunta. Great question. De nada. She speaks Portuguese really well. You should try with her. She's good. Questions. you have a question? That's awesome. I'm going to represent all of the kids.
How did your dad get sick anyway?
Oh. So my dad wasn't the one that got sick. The one that got sick was another missionary that was there in Mozambique, and he had to go back to Canada to go to the hospital so the doctors could take care of him. And then my dad went to help because that missionary wasn't there.
Great question. Give me a high five.
That was a good question. I bet you guys were thinking about that and you didn't ask.
Kids are courageous, man. That's good. Kids will always tell you the truth. Right here? Great question. What happened to my mom and dad? My mom is still a believer. She's a strong woman. She is so proud of us. She did not know how to use internet. So a couple of years ago, we kind of forced her to go to a place for free to learn how to use the internet. So she follows us all over the social media. I see her during the year. She loves it, and she's so proud of us. Unfortunately, my father, he died about 7 years ago with kidney problems, a lot of problems in his health because he used to drink a lot and he used to use a lot of drugs. So he died in a very bad situation. I have one brother that died when he was 3 months old. I have another brother that disappeared. We don't know where he is, over 25 years. We don't know if he's dead or alive. I have another brother that was in prison for 7 years. And unfortunately today, he's full of tattoos. And he's doing the same thing that my father used to do. He's hurting his wife. He's hurting all of his kids. So the kids that are here and teenagers, look at me. The choice is yours. The choice is always yours. My brother had the choice to follow the steps of my father or to allow God to change him like we did. So the choice is always yours. Because a lot of people, they start blaming their parents. And they forget that we need to make a decision to be different. So if your parents are not believers, if something happened to you, my father was like this. My father had 3 wives. You don't need to do that. You can have a beautiful family. Amen?
Amen.
Questions? Right here, sir.
How long ago did you switch from working for another mission to starting your own mission?
2019, officially, we made a transition to Rescue to Tell International Ministry. So it's a new ministry. It's a big challenge because when we worked for that ministry, we had enough to take care of our needs. Now everything's by faith. My wife, every time, every day, she keeps saying, God will always take care of us. For me, it's always hard as a man, as a father, because I don't want my kids to ever go through what I went to. So today, almost every day, she got to remind me, the word of God, got to remind me that God will always take care of us. So over 2 years, we were hesitant to make this transition. But my wife always encouraged me, it's time, let's go. And I was like, So it was almost like, you know, get out of behind me, Satan. Because it was really hard for me. I'm confessing to you as a church. It was really hard for me to make the transition because we had our basic needs met. Transportation, food, place to stay. And now we make a transition that we are pioneering ministry. And now we got our own fundraise. Woo! What a step of faith. But when things like that, this is actually the first church that does a love offering. We've received a love offering through PayPal from individual people, like through someone like Michigan, whatever. But you guys are the first church that gave us a significant love offering on Sunday. The $2,000 that you guys are sending us out with, if you were not here Sunday night, that was huge. And my wife came up to me later, I told you so. So you guys made history in your ministry.
God is faithful, not just in theory, guys. Come on, right? That's the thing. It's just we say God is faithful, but what does that really mean when we're walking with Him, right? When we need something, God is faithful. Amen. 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 OK, can't hear.
Yeah, we do ministry with young girls. We do in schools. We do in, there is a prison for girls that are minors.
Minors prison for girls.
Yeah, so we do, I don't know if there are pictures in there, but we have.
I think so.
Inside of this place, they have about like a 30 to 45 girls. And that's a place that we also invest. We also do a lot with like in neighborhoods, like outreaches. And that's, our heart is kids, family, and people that in our society, people don't want to be around them. That's where we want to be. Like in Brazil, kids, women, and I'm going to say that term. I know it's not a very, it's hard to translate. Kids, women, and older people in Brazil, they are completely, completely neglecting all their rights. Kids are treated most of the time as trash. Parents, a lot of times, they don't treat their kids really well in Brazil. And women are treated really bad. We have a culture that is really, like our state. Our state is on top of the rank that men killing women. So we want to change that. And that we want to work with the families. We want to be where the problems are, inside the slums. You know, working with the families. I don't know if you saw some pictures here. We are really good friends with the police. The police is not our enemy. So we want to work with them. There are some places that we go, we can only go with the police. Literally. We cannot enter some slums without the police. And the main commander, chief, he's a believer. He's a Christian. In one of the other ones, Sergeant Sabino, he's a really good friend of us. So sometimes he, you know, two cars in front and the other cars in the back, and we go, we do what we need to do and leave. But we're safe because we're with the police.
And I just want to reinforce what he was saying regarding like our three main focuses, is that as you hear all these things that we're talking about that needs to be done, it's a lot of things, right? There's a lot of problems, and we are only one ministry. We are only two people. And this is why we are so, we faithfully believe that we need to work through the church. Because we have a church in that neighborhood, and we have a church in that neighborhood, and we have a church in that neighborhood. We can support these churches, but they will be there, equipped to do what needs to get done. And we can come along them and support them in their specific needs, but they will be in the neighborhoods. And that's why we want to work through the churches, because they are there. People that live in the neighborhood, that know the people, know where their needs. And so we want to be there with the churches.
That's why when churches come, one of the things that we really encourage is leadership conference. Because it's really cute for you to go and give a lot of gifts to kids. But when you invest in the leadership of Brazil, like Pastor Scott, I'm going to use an example. You as a writer, as a speaker, you come and you invest in leaders, the missionaries, the pastors, and you pour your heart out to them, and you train them, you speak life to them. You know, when you leave, they stay fired up. You know, that's our greatest desire, is to see the leaders of Brazil
encouraged,
raising up. That is, I don't know if you follow in the social media, but there is a big revival happening in Brazil. But there is one problem. If we don't come after discipling, training people, trust me, a few years, you won't hear that no more. So that's why it's really important for us to invest in the leaders, in the main leaders of the churches in Brazil. So someone like Pastor Scott coming, we can get like, 80 leaders in front of him. He can just speak his heart out for 2-3 days. In the morning, afternoon, evening.
We're planting, guys. Help us
3 days.
Water that seed.
Then he will arrive here, fire up. After being in Brazil for 3 days in like this, you know. So I know it's 8:09 right now. We have our flyers there. Please take, if you thought about someone that needed to hear a little bit of what we do, please take it. That is a card with our social media too, if you want. The book, if you want to order, they've done already. You can go to lulu.com or amazon.com. You can order with the name of our ministry. Rescue to Tell, just put that in, the book will pop up. It will arrive in your house. You will laugh and cry at the same time. And we have a keychain here. We are not selling them. You can pick as many as you want. There is more there. You can take two, three. And if you want, if you can, you can leave a donation to bless our ministry. But you guys have blessed us so much already. And we pray we'll see your faces in Brazil. All right, Pastor Nathan?
All right,
amen, amen, amen.